The Shepherd's Psalm is our Bible reading as we turn to Psalm 23. And read together this very lovely and familiar chapter of the Word of God. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word once again. Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Father, as we come to this portion of your word, and as we have our time of meditation and Bible study, and come to the next Jehovah title, sit with us, we pray. Be our portion. Help us, Lord, to bring the message. Never a time when we come to preach, but we feel our own human frailty and weakness, inability. But we thank thee for the one who gives us strength and wisdom and power. And we pray too the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we might preach this day knowing with certainty in our heart that God is here, that he's ministering to us, he's speaking with us as a people, he's drawing near to every individual in a very personal way. Lord, give us a meeting like that, where believers feel to themselves, and even the unconverted too, I'm the only one here. God has a message for me. And so we pray that the word will come directly and will come powerfully. And Lord, that I will know the infilling of power and unction for Jesus' sake. Amen. Coming to the next Jehovah title, it's here. In Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Our study today takes us to the best known of all the Psalms and probably the most beloved. There are 150 songs in this book, and it became the hymn book of ancient Israel. They were meant to be memorized and recited and set to music and sung by the people of God. Each psalm is like a portrait picturing our relationship with God. If these psalms were an art gallery of 150 rooms visited by travelers from all around the world, the longest line would be outside the room that is marked Psalm 23. It is generally agreed that this shepherd's song is the masterpiece of the entire collection. It is the portrait that most people want to see and that most people remember for the rest of their lives. In fact, it could be easily argued that Psalm 23 is not only the greatest masterpiece of the Psalms, but the most well-known piece of literature of all time. It has been read and sung for centuries in worship gatherings, around hospital beds, on battlefields, and at funeral services. Wherever there is suffering and pain, sorrow and grief, you will find Psalm 23. And often the sick and the dying will say, "Read me Psalm 23. And how many times have we done just that? I can remember on at least one occasion reading this psalm with a dear old saint of God, and in the midst of the reading, she passed from this scene of time into the presence of the Savior and the shepherd that she loves so well. It has a mysterious and spiritual power that reaches deep into the soul and touches us with simplicity and sensitivity. It is a portrait of Christ, who is our shepherd, carrying his rod and his staff, snuggling his little lambs and guiding his sheep into green pastures and beside the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd is probably the best known Jehovah title, though maybe not the most familiar in its original Hebrew. We've been learning many wonderful truths about our blessed God and Savior in these studies. He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. He is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. He is our sanctifier, Jehovah Makadishkem. He is our peace, Jehovah Shalom. He is our righteousness, Jehovah said, can you? And now we see him as our shepherd, Jehovah Rochai. Perhaps more than any other title or description, the Jew in Palestine would understand this one, for the land of Israel was and is full of pastures, shepherds, and sheep. So the fact that the Lord is our shepherd is a thought that is taken up throughout the entire scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament alike. Isaiah, speaking of the coming Messiah, he said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. The great apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews 13 and 20, he referred to Christ as the great shepherd. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, he termed him as the chief shepherd. And the Lord himself, in the Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 11, he called himself the good shepherd. And what a marvelous chapter that is. It ought to be studied alongside Psalm 23, John chapter 10, setting before us the Lord who is our shepherd. David, the author of the Psalm 23, had first knowledge and experience of shepherd life. He grew up in that background. It was his occupation. He was the youngest of eight boys, just an ordinary young man tending his father's sheep at Bethlehem. When Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint the future king of Israel, and all the strong and the mighty sons of Jesse passed before the prophet, and one by one they passed by, Samuel asked the question, are all your children here? And Jesse replied, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. In many respects, just a young lad that the wise and the prudent would overlook, and yet he was God's chosen. And Samuel said, send and fetch him. Bring him here. And David was brought and anointed with the oil that day. And from that moment, the scripture tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. David never forgot those days in the shepherd's field and all that experience in so many ways that he enjoyed. Before his encounter with Goliath, King Saul counseled David that he was too young. He couldn't go out against this great Philistine giant, but David said to Saul back in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 34 and 35, my servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him. and slew him. And so for David and the masses in Israel, this picture would mean so much to them, the picture of the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. David was a warrior, a military man. He could have said, the Lord is my commander in chief, I shall not want, but he doesn't say that. David was the powerful head of a great nation. He could have said that the Lord is my king, I shall not want, but that's not what he was moved on this occasion to write. David was a world-famous poet and musician. He could have said, the Lord is my inspiration, I shall not want. But he doesn't say that either. Instead, he pens the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that made David a sheep, just a sheep. A sheep of the Lord's great pasture. One who of himself was weak, helpless, vulnerable, and even stupid. Not a very flattering image, you might say. However, David was not interested in his image. He was not concerned about elevating his own importance, announcing his own achievements, or boasting in his qualifications. No, rather, he desired to share a picture that showed something of his basic yet vital relationship with God. And the best image that he could draw on came from those days as a shepherd boy tending his father's sheep. And thus he writes, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. As the shepherd was out with his flocks, he was completely responsible for everything. Good pasture, still waters. Sheep are afraid of running noisy streams. He was responsible for their care, their discipline and protection from every kind of danger and wild animal attack. When David speaks of the Lord being his shepherd, he is saying that he fully depended on the Lord to be his everything. This is what I want you to take home today in your heart. Jesus Christ is my everything. And Jesus Christ is your everything if you're a child of his in this meeting. And we are absolutely dependent upon him for all things. Sheep are helpless of themselves. They cannot survive on their own. Any other domestic animal can live in the wild except for sheep. Pigs can escape from the pig pen and can make their own way. Cattle can survive on their own. Horses can. Rabbits can. Dogs and cats can, but not sheep. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd for protection, for water, for food and shelter. Sheep don't live long without the protection of the shepherd. As my shepherd, I am absolutely dependent upon him, and he is all that I need. And that's the thought that we're going to leave with you from the whole psalm here, that he is all. This one who is called the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, he's all that I need. He is, first of all that I need in life. And I'm just going to read the appropriate part of the psalm, the first three verses and verse 5. Listen to it, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And as you read these verses with me, you can understand as we listen to the descriptions here that he's all that we need in life. He's the shepherd of provision. I shall not want. And I shall not want for spiritual things. The greatest need that we have in this life is spiritual. And thank God the shepherd provides that need. I need saving grace. Grace that puts me into Christ. Grace that saves my soul. Grace that redeems me and brings me into a proper standing and a proper relationship with God. And that need above all needs, that spiritual need, is met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And then, of course, after the experience of saving grace, we need that sustaining grace and that sufficient grace that we have so often spoken about in the Christian life. I shall not want, therefore, for my spiritual needs. I shall not want for my temporal needs. Does he not feed the ravens and cause the lilies to grow? How then can he leave his children to starve? The scripture reminds us, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I may not possess all that I wish to possess, but I shall not want. The young lions, they lack and suffer hunger. You think of this other psalm, Psalm 34. And it goes on to say, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Why? Because the shepherd provides our needs. Now, this does not mean that we have everything that we desire. No, it means that the shepherd provides everything that we need in life. I shall not want means I shall not lack anything that God thinks that I need. Spurgeon says, come what may, if famine devastate the land or calamity destroy the city, I shall not want. Old age with its feebleness shall not bring me any lack. And even death with its gloom shall not find me destitute. I have all things and abound. Not because I have a good store of money in the bank. Not because I have skill and wit with which to win my bread, but because the Lord is my shepherd. The wicked always want, but the righteous never. A sinner's heart is far from satisfaction, but a gracious spirit dwells in the palace of contentment. The shepherd of provision is also the shepherd of preservation. You want to mark the words green pastures. And this is indeed the sustenance of the sheep. And where are these green pastures for the believer? The scriptures of truth, of course, which are always fresh, always rich, and never exhausted. Sweet and full of the doctrines of the gospel. It's the only true food to nourish the soul of the believer, to nourish the sheep of God. By faith we are enabled to find rest in the promises of his word. He not only feeds me with green pastures of divine truth, but he leads me. He leads me by the still waters. A picture of the Holy Spirit of God. It is by the Spirit that we are refreshed and cleansed and satisfied. And these are still waters, not turbulent and raging waters of strife, but peaceful streams of holy love where God leads his chosen sheep. He's the shepherd of restoration, for he restoreth my soul. When the soul grows weary, he revives it. When it becomes downcast, he strengthens it. When it is sinful, he sanctifies it. I am so glad that I have such a shepherd. Do you feel spiritually low? Do you feel weak and feeble, even in the work of the Lord? Do you feel powerless and inadequate for the battle? Well, then look to him. Pray for the blessing of restoration. Restore thou me, thou shepherd of my soul. Make that your prayer, and he will. He's the shepherd of sanctification. For he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Righteousness is the watchword for the believer. The true Christian delights in being faithful and obedient. He's not obedient to some of the commandments of God and negligent of others. Often the sanctified life is overlooked by the professing Christian. But the true child of God, the sheep of God's pasture, knows the importance of sanctification and walking in holiness and knowing this righteousness of which the psalm reminds us of today. And praise God, the Lord leads us in that way. He's all that I need in life. He's all that I need in death. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And this is one of the most precious verses in all the book. It has been sung on many a deathbed. It has helped to make the dark valley a bright place. Every word of this verse is precious. And one day we shall come to the valley. We shall. Every one of us must face the valley. There are many valleys to face in this life, as we know. The illustration is most impressive and instructive. In Israel, the rains finish in February and do not begin again until November, December time. And so during the long dry season, the shepherd takes his sheep out into the mountains to higher ground. That pasture that is known as the tableland. Often the shepherd would go ahead of the sheep in the spring before the summer to prepare the tableland, to clear out the rocks, to pull up the weeds, to uncover springs, to dig water holes for the sheep. But in order to reach the tableland, he has to take the sheep through some of the deepest valleys where they are exposed to attacks by wolves and lions along the way. Sometimes the sheep had to pass through crevices one at a time, frightening places, where they were totally dependent on the touch of the shepherd's staff and the protection of his rod. It was a risky journey. And life is a journey full of difficulties, disappointments, and dark providences. God knows how tough life can be for us. But he wants us to see that we can still trust the shepherd at all times, but particularly to trust him amidst two of our worst fears, the fear of death and the fear of our enemies. Everything that we hold dear in life will someday be ripped out of our grasp. Our health, our mind, our energy, our careers, our spouse, our children, our very life itself one day will be taken from us. And David had been through it all. He had experienced the death of a baby born to Bathsheba. He had buried an adult son, Absalom, whom he loved. He lost Jonathan, his best friend. He saw his companions killed in battle. He had seen many, many deaths, and yet he is able to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. Death and its substance has been removed. Only the shadow remains. There's no sting in death for the believer. A shadow can't hurt you. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. The believer walks through the valley. He's not in a flurry or a frenzy. He's not running with dread and alarm, the dying saint walks calmly with the Savior through this valley. And notice that he's not walking in it. He's not in the valley. He's walking through the valley. And there's a great difference between in and through. We're not going through it to stay there or continue there. Praise God, we're going through it to victory. It may be a dark tunnel of death, but we emerge in the light of immortality. Death is not the house, it's the porch. It's not the goal, it's the passage to it. And here's the greatest consolation of all. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is the joy of the Christian. The little child out at sea, in the midst of the storms, is not frightened like other passengers on board the vessel. It's asleep in its mother's bosom. It's enough that the mother is there with the child. It's enough for us to know that Christ is with us, and he will be with us in this valley of which the psalmist speaks. Why? Because he is the Lord my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rohi. All that I need in life, all that I need in death, and all that I need in eternity. What a prospect, what a future, what blessedness. Surely goodness and mercy, verse 6, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so in the final analysis, nothing can take me from the shepherd. Absolutely nothing. Not even death itself. Because when that happens, I will be at home with the shepherd forevermore. And that's what the future has in store for me, says David. I'm going to be with the Lord in the eternal home in glory. And that's the prospect for all of us who know the shepherd. This world is not our home. Sometimes quote that song about this world is not our home. We're just traveling through. One day we will leave all of our enemies behind, including death, which is the last enemy. We shall rise to the heights of celestial glory. And we'll be able to say in a greater way and sing in a greater way than ever before, what a day, glorious day that will be. The story is told of a group of well-known writers, musicians, and actors who gathered in London for a night of mutual entertainment. They each put some money up for a prize for the one who could best entertain the group that night. The evening oozed with talent. They sang, they played, they recited, they gave monologues. And last of all, a prominent British actor stood to his feet before the group of 100 or so, and he recited the words of the 23rd Psalm. His enunciation and intonation was perfect. They were spellbound, and when he finished, they all agreed that he deserved to receive the prize. Just then, someone from the back of the room said, "Wait a minute, there is one among us who hasn't said anything yet." And he pointed to a little old man standing in the corner. The man said, "No way, I'm not an entertainer, I'm just a friend of the host." "Come on, do something," they said as they pushed him to the front of the room. After a long pause, he also began to recite the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He went through the whole thing about the shepherd's love and care, and a holy hush came across the room when he finished with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." His face lit up. Everyone was moved, some to tears. And the British actor who had just won the prize. He took the money and he gave it to the old man and he said, "Sir, that was moving. I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd." And that's the important thing. Some of you today know the psalm. You've heard it sung many, many times at funerals. You've heard it read at the bedside when people have been sick and dying. But you don't know the shepherd. Thank God many do. But some of you are still without the Savior and without the shepherd. May this psalm speak in a way that has never spoken to you before. May you be moved, truly moved by the Lord. I saw a man moved this week. We had the opportunity to take our friends to McGilligan Prison on Tuesday morning. We went into the sports hall. 60 or 70 of the prisoners came. I was told afterwards by the governor that that was twice as many as would normally come to any kind of event like that. The young girls played their instruments. The men that were with us sang. And at the conclusion, I stood and I thanked the governor of the prison for receiving us and allowing us to come in to minister in the way that we did. The governor, at the conclusion, he came forward to say something, but as he did, he broke down. He says, "I can't say anything." And he walked away in front of all those men. Then he gathered himself together and he came back. And he said, "That is the most amazing thing I have ever heard." And he asked me afterwards, "When can I hear them again?" And so he came last night to listen to them in Stormont. Don't know where he stands with the Lord, but he was moved. Are you moved today? When you think about the shepherd, when you think really about this psalm and all that it means, because he's all that I need, and he's all that you need in life, in death, and in eternity. And it's our earnest prayer that you'll come to know him personally, individually, and be like the old man that we've spoken of, who didn't just know the psalm, but he knew the shepherd. Do you know the author? Let us bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for our lovely Savior. We thank thee for Jehovah Rohi. We thank thee for those who can say in their heart today, "He's mine. He's my shepherd." Because they know the Savior of Psalm 23. And because they've been to the cross that is expounded in that psalm, then they can truly come to the 23rd psalm and can own him as the shepherd of their soul. Bless your word to all of our hearts. May the presence of our Savior and shepherd go with us every day. May he go with those that are in particular need in this service, people that are mourning, people that are sad, people that are afflicted. May he be with our families that are suffering, and those within our homes that are sick. And, oh God, we pray that for those among us who know not the shepherd, because they know him not as Savior, that they will be touched by the Lord and moved, not just emotionally, not just physically, but truly spiritually in the heart, in the mind, in the will, where a work of grace for eternity will be done, and where they will be brought brokenly to the feet of the Savior. Save the lost, we do cry, that belong to this church, that belong to our families. And Lord, do it today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Returning to the closing hymn, 342.